Are you without a job? Do you have a job but want a better job? Guess what? Abby Kohut is here to help you. She is the author of Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. Abby, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Let's start at the beginning. There's a myth out there. I think it's a myth. People just say, you know what, I want a job, but there's no jobs out there. I keep trying, but there's nothing out there. Is that true or is it not true?
No, it's very much false. There are plenty of jobs out there. I believe the last time I checked, there were over 3 million jobs available. And the fact is that the reason it's so difficult is because there are also so many people searching for those jobs. I believe there's 14 million or so people searching for 3 million jobs. But there are plenty of jobs available, and some people are landing. If they do things the right way, if they do things differently, they are definitely landing. Two of my friends landed this week in particular.
Oh, that's very good news. We're going to get into the specifics of what those things you can do are, but I want to ask you this. I would say that it's changed dramatically over the past 4, 5, 6 years in just the way you have to go about getting a job. In that, the old days of just showing up in an office and letting them know that you're available, that's all been changed. It's all online now, right? Can you still do it the old way, or do you have to do it online?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because the people that are doing it the old way, like faxing and mailing and showing up, some of those people are actually landing because they're using the old way, which no one is doing now. So that's actually seen as outside the box now. It's kind of backwards, right?
It is backwards. But doesn't it show the employer, the potential employer, this is a man or a woman who wants to go that extra mile? They're not just going to sit at home on their computer and do it. They're going to physically show up. They must want it really badly.
Very much so. And it shows that they're creative and that they're outside the box and that they can do things differently. And that's what most employers want these days.
Are you a fan of the job hunting services? You know, there are some big names and there's some smaller names out there. Do you just become a number to them when you sign on with them, or is it a good idea, do you think?
Well, there's not a lot of job hunting services where you actually pay money. There are headhunters, and those are recruiters that get paid to place people, and they're hired by organizations. And you can sign up with as many of them as you like because you don't have to pay for them. And they do a pretty good job when they have a job that matches your particular skill set.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they just put you in their database, and then they will call you when they do have something for you. So it's great to line yourself up with them.
Abby, you say one of the first things, if not the first thing you want to do, is find out specifically who the hiring manager is for the job that you want. How do you go about doing that?
Well, actually, there's a great, wonderful site for doing that, and most of you out there probably know it. It's called LinkedIn.com. And when you go on LinkedIn and you create a network, after a little while, your network is large enough that you can go out and do searches to try to figure out who that hiring manager is. And when you have the hiring manager, you can actually put their name on your cover letter, which, by the way, most people don't do cover letters anymore.
Yeah.
But that's probably one of the most important things you can do. And if you write Dear Sir or Madam, it doesn't indicate that you actually went the extra mile to try to figure out who that hiring manager is.
Why has the cover letter gone away? You would think that that's something that would remain consistent. But I know other people who go, yeah, they don't even read the cover letter. Why even bother? But that's not the case, is it?
It depends who you're sending your resume to. So if you're sending it to a headhunter or a search firm, there's a really good chance they're not going to read your cover letter. But when you're sending it into corporate HR or to a company directly, we definitely still read cover letters. And what it does is it differentiates you from the rest of the pack. So let's say you're a receptionist, for example. And
I am, by the way.
Receptionist. Well, that makes perfect sense, Bill. That makes perfect sense.
All right, so what do you do then?
So, like, I put up an ad for a receptionist, right?
Yeah.
And I get 500 resumes in a day. That's
right.
How bad it is. And the problem is they all look the same. They all say, I answered the phone. But if they put a cover letter in there and tell me why they really want to work for my company and what accomplishments they've had as a receptionist, then I'm more likely to call them. So anybody who writes a cover letter will probably get a call.
So that's a huge advantage. I know there's always confusion, Abby, over what should go in a cover letter and what should go in a resume. Is there an easy way to differentiate what should go where?
This is my opinion, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A cover letter, most people, what they do is they regurgitate their resume. And the problem is, I already can read your resume. So tell me in your cover letter, why do you really want to work for my company? What is it about my industry that you love? What is it about my company? And it can't just be, I'm looking for a job. It has to be, why do you want to work here? And if you can put some emotion in here, like, I want to work for Apple because I've used an iPhone for umpteen years, and I've never had a PC, mm-hmm. and I'd be honored to work for your company. If you put that in your cover letter to Apple, there's much bigger chance that they will call you if they have a chance to read it. And not everybody does read cover letters, but just on the chance that someone does, because I'd read them, then you might as well do one and do a really good job when you write it.
Yeah. What about this? You say here what to put on your profile so that recruiting managers can find you. How specific do you want to get? What exactly do you want to include there?
Here's what it is. It's about the keywords. And the keywords are words that you find on the job descriptions that you're applying for. And so if you figure out what those words are, you want to add them to your LinkedIn profile. You want to add them to your resume. And in some cases, you actually want to mention them multiple times, because the more times that you match the keyword search that I'm doing, mm-hmm. the higher up in the pile you go. So you're going to definitely want to figure out what the keywords are that relate to your profession and to your industry by looking at those job descriptions that you're applying for.
My guest is Abby Kohut. She is the author of Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. We'll come back with more tips. You can call us at 312-981-7200. You can text us at 24720. We'll pick this up in just a moment. This is WGN. It's Bill Leff with you on WGN, along with my guest Abby Kohut. Abby is the author of Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. She also has a great website, absolutelyabby.com. Absolutely spelled the traditional way. Abby spelled ABBY.com. Absolutelyabby.com. Abby, we were talking about resumes. I've always believed that you shouldn't just have a resume. You should be ready to alter and change your resume depending on the job. That seems like the right way to do it, doesn't it?
It's a great way to do it, but it's very time-consuming. So what I would recommend is that you have at least a couple of different versions that you can send depending on the situation, but then use that cover letter to make the adjustments, because you're going to need to change that every time you apply. So I would have maybe like 1, 2, 3, 4 copies of your resume, but changing it every single time, that can drive you crazy, because you're going to have to remember which resume you sent to which company.
Yeah, good point. I know recently you did a job search success tour. You met a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas. What was that all about?
Actually, I'm still doing it.
Oh, you're on it now?
September. Yes, I left in September, and I went up the East Coast, and then I went down to Florida. And now I'm actually talking to you from New Jersey, but I'm going to be going back out to New Orleans in about a week, and then I'm going to be headed to Chicago in probably late summer. So I'm very excited. I'm on a tour to help 1 million job seekers.
Wow.
I'm speaking, and yeah, I'm just educating people as I go, and it's a blast. I'm having a great time.
Good. That sounds nice. What about this? I know a lot of people on interviews are prone to mistakes. Some of them are easy to correct. What are some of the mistakes out there that you can help people with?
Oh, my goodness. People do all kinds of things. One guy actually answered the phone in the middle of an interview with me. And the fact is, later, what I found out is that his father was in the emergency room, and he was waiting for a call from his father. And had he told me that before the interview, please, my father's in the emergency room, I'm going to pick up the phone if he calls, I would have said, oh, my God, of course, definitely,
yeah.
Please. But he didn't say that, so I had no idea what he was doing. So the thing is, you want to always tell people, be honest with people about things like that. And another thing is, someone once came in and plugged their phone right into my wall during an interview. And, you know, you're using my electricity. Totally fine. It's totally okay. And I understand cell phones and batteries and all that. But just ask if that's okay before you go plugging your phone into someone's wall.
So I guess people are more comfortable now than they ever were before, but that's not always a good thing, is it?
No, the thing is, I talk about the best friend interview, which means some recruiters are really going to be nice to you. When I meet with candidates, I make you feel like we're good friends, and I want to sort of get you to tell me stuff that you otherwise wouldn't. So be very aware of those people that are really nice to you, and don't let your guard down, and don't tell them things that you don't want them to necessarily know.
Do you want to bring up money in a first interview? When do you start to discuss salary?
You really should wait for the recruiter to ask you about your salary. That's the best way to do it. Because if you start talking about salary and benefits early on, then they're going to start to realize that that's what you're all about. And I want you to be about the career. I want you to be about the job. I want you to be about, I want to work for your company. And that's what it should be about. And salary and benefits, they're going to all come up. We're going to bring them up in the first interview, if not on the phone screen. But it's really best to let us do that.
Abby, there comes a time, usually toward the end of an interview, where whoever's interviewing you says, do you have any questions for me? Is there anything you want to know from me? And that's a good time to ask questions. You never want to say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. Whatever we talked about, that's all I need to know. You want to show them that you're interested, don't you?
Oh, yes, definitely. In fact, you want to prepare a list of questions before the interview so that if by some chance the recruiter actually knows, let's say they go over all the questions and you know all the answers,
yeah,
you can hold up that piece of paper and say, look, I prepared all these questions for you, but you answered them. So at least they know. But a couple of questions that you can ask, you could say, what are your greatest challenges, or what keeps you awake at night that I can help you with? Or you can also say, what's the one thing that you'd change about your culture? Because most people will ask me, what's the culture? But I'm not going to give you the best answer if you say, what's the culture like? But if you say, what's the one thing you would change, I might actually give you the truth, and I might tell you what the one thing is that I might change.
Yeah. Help me with this one. This is a text from Rhonda. Rhonda says, I was out of work for several months due to knee surgery, so there's a gap on my resume. Should I state that somewhere? I've been given advice that I should, or other advice that I should not. What do you do about something like that if you've missed a considerable amount of time at work?
I would definitely tell you to tell people about it, because the fact is there's nothing wrong with having an illness. And the one thing that you can do is tell people that it's cured. Okay, so if you say, I had knee surgery, obviously the surgery is over, and obviously you're fine. So that's the kind of illness that's okay to tell people about. I wouldn't tell people about an ongoing illness because, you know, there's a chance that they'll come up with some reason not to hire you if you tell them about something like that.
Sure.
But if you tell them, I had knee surgery, I took a year off from work, but look at me, I'm walking around, I'm fine, then there's no reason anybody would hold that against you.
I would always bring x-rays in. Would you do that? I bring a series of x-rays in and I show them that my knee is fine.
Yes, but then you'd have to show them in one of those rooms with a, you know, like a dark room.
Right, that's true.
And I guess you could all sit in the dark and look at them, sure.
That's always a fun way to end an interview. What about this? There's always a question. I'm sure you've seen this or you've heard this. You've probably asked this, where they say, all right, you've told me what's good about you and how you can help our company, but what's your biggest weakness? How do you handle that question?
Yeah, that's a fun one. So here's the deal. The way you answer it is to, a lot of people tell you to give an example that makes you look good, and it's not exactly right. What you want to do is be honest about your weakness. So I want you to figure out what your weakness is before you go on the interview, and I want you to say, let's say, for example, my weakness is that I'm a perfectionist. And while that is usually a strength, it's a weakness for me because it means I'll never finish something because I'll keep wanting to make it better.
Oh, that's
good. So, Mr. Manager, what you can do for me is always give me deadlines when you give me a project. Because if you do that, I'll make sure to get it done on time.
So it's a form of honesty. Like, you shouldn't say, well, I am late all the time, and boy, I drink a lot, because that's not going to work.
No, and definitely, same, yeah, drinking a lot, not going to work. See, the thing about being late is it depends on the job. So let's say you're a scientist.
Yeah.
I really don't care what time you show up, because I'm paying you to create new molecules and to create new pharmaceuticals. And so being late as a scientist, not a big deal. But being late as a receptionist, big deal.
That's a
problem. So that's why you have to figure out the weakness and make sure that weakness is not going to rule you out from the job.
Abby Kohut wants to help you get hired. Do yourself a favor. Visit her website. That's absolutelyabby.com. Abby spelled A-B-B-Y. Or pick up the book, Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. Abby, great talking to you. I hope this helps some people. I really do.
Well, thanks. Do your listeners like free stuff by any chance?
Though? Yeah, I know some people who like free stuff, absolutely.
All right, well, I did a teleseminar. It's called Interviewing Ingenuity.
Yeah.
And I basically go through all the interview steps from phone screens all the way to negotiation. And I'd like to give that to every single one of your listeners. So all they have to do is go to meetabby.com. It's really simple. It's meet and then Abby with a Y, no E, ABBY.com. And if you sign up there, I'll send you my free teleseminar. It's about an hour and a half long or something.
Perfect.
But it's great information.
I appreciate it, Abby. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too. Have a great day, too.
All right. Take care.